This is the Pharmaceutical Soccer Podcast.
Go!
A soccer show by supporters for supporters.
What deal have they struck with the soccer gods?
Breaking down the latest on the boys in gold and the soccer world.
You could not write a script like this.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pharmaceutical Soccer right here on 102.5 The Game. I'm so excited to be back with you all. I'm here with Clay and Valair to talk about Nashville SC's victory in Columbus. I had fun, but
Hey, we already talked about the Columbus victory.
Oh, KC.
Yeah, but Steven hasn't talked about the Columbus victory.
Yeah, Steven wasn't there for it.
He was in Loudon.
I was in Loudon. I missed you guys. Hope you're doing good. I definitely had a good time in Kansas City, which I'll talk about, but first let's talk about your guys' weekends and stuff and everything going on.
Well, there's not a ton going on my weekend. It was a lot of laying around. I did go to the La Brigada watch party at Safari Ranch Beach Club, which I know sounds like four different things, but I assure you it's one place. And it was a good time. And then a bunch of people got to see me dance at Plaza Mariachi, and pictures exist. And I hope video does not.
I saw pictures. I haven't seen videos of this. So maybe you were just posing for all I know.
I really hope there is some video. If somebody could find that and Shane, Clay, that'd be terrific. That'd be great.
Look, for me, I went and visited a new state. The great state of Arkansas.
A couple
towns within Arkansas. It is a state that exists. I can confirm that. Something I can't say about like Rhode Island or any of those other ones, you know. But it was fun. I saw the Little Rock in Little Rock, Arkansas. So that's always interesting. It's a little bit bigger than Lowell, I think. It's a pretty good size rock, one would say.
You heard it here first. Valair has accused the state of Arkansas of being full of liars.
Yes. I learned about, I don't know why I haven't thought about this, but they were part of like the whole like Louisiana purchase thing. I don't know why I didn't connect the dots. I think I just like forgot that Arkansas was even a state for the most part. So anyway, I learned a lot about that. But I also went and I watched some soccer this weekend, believe it or not, live soccer in Searcy, Arkansas, where the Searcy Lions took on the high school team, women's high school team or girls high school team. I don't know what the right term is. Took on the, I can't remember who they took on, but they beat them 8-0 and it was glorious.
I just want to point out that I'm the one that gets a bad rap about being a soccer nerd here. I get it thrown in my face all the time. I want to point out that Valair went to a girls' high school game in Arkansas. And no matter how obscure that I get with my weird soccer things, nothing is more obscure than going to a girls' game in Arkansas.
I knew one of the players. So
makes a little more sense.
I was staying with the parents of the players. So it all makes sense. I wasn't just like was bored and walked into a high school game. I should say that, I guess, because that sounds kind of creepy when you don't say that part. But I'm just saying the sport of soccer is so wide in this country that I can go to a town in Arkansas with a population of less than 20,000 and they have a great soccer program.
This isn't totally related to soccer, but it made me think about it because it happened when I was staying in Little Rock once. Former first round NFL player, Alonzo Highsmith stayed at the same hotel as us when I was at a volleyball tournament. And so he just decided to come to our volleyball game because he saw us at breakfast. And so I was hoping that Valair's story would be something similar, but it is not. So anyway, shout out to Alonzo Highsmith.
Yep. Whoever that is, I'm glad they got to see volleyball, but that's my weekend. I'm done.
And shout out to the Searcy Lions as well. Was Lions, it the Tigers or Lions? Yeah, it's the most Game of Thrones named school I've ever been a part. Anyways, the Game of Thrones starts to understand. But I was in Kansas City over the weekend. It was a super good time.
How much of it do you remember?
About zero. I gotta be honest. I really enjoyed myself. First of all, shout out to the Cauldron, who are the KC supporters, for being very hospitable. I want to buy an RV now, because they actually have an RV where they do all of their sales in beer and everything out of, where I'm like, this is genius. Like, I want an RV. So I'm probably going to buy an RV. The stadium was incredible. If you ever have the ability to go, it is just terrific. You feel so close to the action. Every fan was really nice. I think my favorite part of the evening and the best heckle that we've gotten from opposing fans or kids is as we were after one of our goals, some kids near us were chanting "Sit down, minions," which was, I mean, for 8-year-olds, it's pretty good, not gonna lie. So that was fun. And then I don't remember the night afterwards, but I did randomly take a picture of, I don't know how I found this out Monday, that I took a picture of the Church of Scientology in Kansas City. I have one picture on my phone, nothing from the game. I have one picture of that. That's how my night went. And so, yeah, now I'm here and I can't believe I made it back.
Well, I just want to say I've been to that stadium in Kansas City a few times now. Sometimes partially shout out to Mike Jacobs, former University of Evansville coach, and he did nothing else in his career, obviously.
And nope, nothing at all.
Yeah. But it is genuinely one of my favorite places to go to in the league. When I found out the folks designing our stadium were the same folks that designed theirs, it made me very excited. Also, free parking, which is phenomenal. And they've got a supporters pub, which Steven wouldn't have had access to, but the supporters pub at SKC in the corner of the ground is fantastic, and everything in there is cheaper than it is in the stadium, which is really cool. That will not be the setup for our stadium, but it is a very nice touch for their supporter members. But aside from that, more importantly, back-to-back road wins.
I mean, you can't, it's exactly the most Nashville SC way to win too. And we'll talk about it, you know, definitely more in the second segment. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you get 10 points, you know, in six matches. That is it to me, are the next two matches just kind of a wash for you now? Is it like whatever happens, happens?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I think it's going to matter a lot for form, if anything, because you have, I don't know about the whole team. I think everybody's ready to play at home, from team to fans to coaches to everybody. But like, I think there's a lot of individuals out there that want to prove something. You look at a guy like Randall Leal or an Alex Moyle, and these guys, I'm sure we'll talk about their performance in KC, but just overall, they want to build on good form. And the way to do it is through these games, and you want to continue that form, because once you get home, it's not like there's a break. Once you get home, there's still going to be matches upon matches up until up until June. So that you want to build that form, and you want to stay in good form.
Well, and on top of that, you've got, yes, they wanted to get, I mean, Gary said he wanted 8 points from the first eight matches, which is a very Gary thing to shoot for, eight away ties. But I think we've talked the whole offseason, ever since the schedule came out, about trying to get double-digit points from these eight games. Now you've got it. Double digits, all you needed to stay in contention. Anything right above this is now, like, these are points that you can put away and bank away for a race for silverware. I mean, that is an honest thing that is available to this team right now. They're 3 points off the top of the West. We're going to get a little more into that later, but like, they go and get another 3 points, even another 2 points here. That's really putting them in a good spot as a team that went undefeated at home last year. That's putting them in a really good spot to push for silverware, to push for playoff positioning, and to really, really have a chance to do something special their first year in a new stadium.
Yeah, and I think also just the way that they've been playing in these two games, like really frustrating opponents, and they did the same thing against Kansas City. You know, Columbus was, you know, I was just a defensive masterpiece as well. You know, it's, they're really playing together. I'm a little, and we'll talk more about it in the third segment, about some of my worries with the form, but two trips to the West Coast, San Jose, and the Galaxy coming up next, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also to keep in mind here, I mean, I know we're about to head to break, but keep in mind here, they've already gone to Seattle. Like, this would be LA and San Jose. They're checking off the longest road trips of the season already. Yep. So, like, when it gets to that schedule congestion, I know it's different because you're chartering a flight, but that's still tough going over three time zones or two time zones, I guess, to really pick up some of these games. They're going to have a chance to check off three of the longest road trips. The longest road trip of the year, they already got 3 points from. So what's going to happen here? I think that's a really interesting way to end this road swing.
And we are going to talk more about the Kansas City match and, you know, kind of where we're at in the standings right here next on 102.5 The Game. And we are back right here on 102.5 The Game, Pharmaceutical Soccer. Of course, you can follow us at PharmaSoccer on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Apologies for my sound and technical difficulties, by the way. I don't know how technology works. So just when in doubt, hashtag blame Amari.
Yeah, and also don't ask Steven what field he works in.
That too. Anyways, do not ask me what field I work in. Actually work in. So let's talk about the match. 2-1 win in Kansas City. Come from behind win. Goals from, is this Dave Romney's first goal, by the way, for the team?
No, he scored against Orlando. He scored in a loss at Orlando.
Gotcha.
That is off the top of my head, but I feel pretty confident about that one.
And then another goal from CJ Sapong. So good for CJ to get back on the score sheet as well. Look, it's a come from behind victory, away victory. We felt dominant throughout the entire match in ways.
Yeah, I will say that I don't necessarily agree that it felt like a dominating Nashville win. I think it felt like a pretty comprehensive one. Joe Willis had a lot to do in a couple of patches in that game. He had probably his best save of his career.
Yeah.
A foot away kick save. I still don't know how SKC didn't score off of it. But genuinely speaking, like, even as the game wore on, and I feel like both Nashville and Everton were explicitly trying to kill me on Saturday between the way both of those games ended with the amount of pressure for the teams are facing. But like, when you take a step back and you're out of the moment, you realize that Nashville kind of had SKC exactly where they wanted them, especially after the Sapong goal. Like, there were a couple chances, but those are chances that Nashville typically, you know, takes care of.
And I want to add something, because I think I'm the only one here, at least, who watched it on the KC feed, because I was watching ESPN Plus because I was out of the state. And I just, first of all, I want to say thank you to the KC folks who did color, and I'm sorry I don't have their name right here in front of me, who did color and play-by-play, because they were actually not super homers. And I feel like that's what Tony Husband and Jamie Watson do. I think they give the other team the respect they need. Obviously, they are commentating for a specific team, and I get it. Like, you want to lean towards them, but I do want to give a quick shout-out, because they gave Nashville what they deserve. But specifically, I want to talk about that Joe Willis save, because even them, like, you know how much they want to see their team score, but when that save happened, they were just like at a loss for word, and they were just going on and praising Joe Willis, and fully deserved. I mean, it's one of the best saves I've seen, and the reaction of it is so immediate and so accurate. But even before that, he pulled an even, I don't want to say greater, but another great save. So he's sitting here and kind of producing all that. And we've heard a lot throughout the years about how, oh, Joe Willis is only good because of the defenders in front of him. And it's like, I really disagree with that. I'm not saying he's the best in MLS or anything like that, but I do think he is within that top five, top 10 conversation at the very least. And I think the answer of his defenders are good is just not an accurate description of what's happening.
Just for what it's worth, I believe it is Nate Bucati or Bucati, I apologize, and Jacob Peterson, who are on the call for SKC.
I do remember Jacob Peterson because he played in the 2013 final, MLS Cup final, right?
Yeah.
I will say, when you saw that, you could not react to that save live. You did not know what happened. All you saw was that ball not go in the net. And I'm just sitting there in confusion, and of course they didn't really play the replay in Kansas City because they don't want to sit there and just go through that again. But yeah, I get where you're coming from, Clay. Definitely, it did seem like there were some times where the defense was a little bit, I mean, especially on the Kansas City goal. I think just some of the defensive play, just kind of a little lack in communication. You start to see it like just randomly, but still having 19 shots on the road is still pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that, like, this sounds so weird because it doesn't totally make sense when you say it. When we see Nashville give up goals, they're largely off mistakes, which they're making too many mistakes in some ways. But on the other hand, it means that the structure is generally right. That being said, I'm happy the goal he gave up was not off a set piece. So, hey, right. There's that.
Oh, I was sitting there at the end with the corners. I'm like, I can't do this right now. There's too many corners going on at the end of the match.
I honestly think that the set piece, like, I don't remember a ton coming off of set pieces when that's the part that always gets – you know, you say this now and then watch next week, they'll give him a goal on set piece. So you don't want to get too out of your skis on it, but like it was a fairly as comfortable as you can be facing some of that pressure, a fairly comfortable defensive performance for Nashville. I will say offensively, it was very nice to see I guess both goals coming off set pieces because I love a big throw-in. I'm not going to lie. I love a big throw-in. You know, one of my all-time favorite Premier League players, a one-tool player, Rory Delap, doesn't really do a whole lot, but his throw-ins were incredible and basically free kicks. And Dave Romney has, like, shown the big throw, and we haven't really gotten a lot off of it yet. That's the type of chaos that having a big throw-in, like, that having that. So, old big throw Dave, his actual best throw-in – I know I'm getting really in the weeds here, was in the first half, it was a bullet right to the near post. And if someone would have gotten to it, it would be on every highlight show because it was a bullet of a throw-in.
I didn't know you were talking about this game specifically. I thought you were talking about his best throw-in. I was like,
waiting for the top three rundown of best Dave Romney.
I will go through and find them if you need me to do that.
Yes.
So shout out to Big Throw Dave. But I will say that his – he is caught. It is now to the point where I get pretty excited for those because chances are popping up off of them. And that is such a good weapon. It's kind of a weird old school sort of weapon to use, but it's such a good weapon to have for a team that has the kind of height that Nashville has and a team that has the sort of players that can cause some chaos in the box that Nashville has. And that's exactly what happened on the second goal. I mean, that's just another tool that Gary can go to find goals for this team.
We were talking about mistakes before we started talking about the Dave Romney goal. So I feel like we do need to bring up one large mistake that seems to be a problem for this team, which would be penalties. Hani Mukhtar getting the pen, which, by the way, brilliant run up and dribble from him to kind of get that pen. But what is this? Like, what is this?
I honestly think, and I don't have an answer for what happened in Philadelphia. If you go back and listen to that podcast.
Or Charleston.
Or Charleston if you want to go really back.
Eight in a row missed in the...
I don't have an answer for those, but I do think within the game, I'm not talking about the penalty shootouts. I do think within the game, we just need somebody else to be taking them other than Hani. This is no disrespect to Hani. This is... Some players excel at certain things. There are players that they're... One tool, kind of like Claire was talking about, is taking penalties. I'm just saying, when you're on the field with somebody like CJ, somebody with like Leal, and even somebody like Alex Moyle, who scored one, I know this is kind of like not within the spirit of the team, but Hani needs to realize that this is not his strength, and that's okay. It is okay to not have put everything on Hani. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's missed two out of, I think, five, counting the shootout. What I will say is
No, he's made two out of the five, you mean.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. But I will say this, and this is where I agree with Valaire that maybe he's not the guy to be taking pins. At the same time, in that moment, in this stretch for Hanni, he needed to be the one taking that penalty, even if he didn't get it. This is the guy who was the league leader in goal contributions, hasn't scored yet this year. Penalties in theory are something that he should be good at, but also it's something that we often see can get someone going and can get, you know, you get that first one off and now you're off and away. I think Hanni has played too well this year to not have anything to show for it. Agreed. And so I think I understand giving him the penalty, and it's not like he hasn't put away penalties before in his career. He scored a couple last year. One year before, whatever it is. But I was definitely worried about him taking the penalty. Yeah. I'm not going to lie and say I wasn't, but I was also really hopeful because I think he just needs something to show for what he's done. He played well against SKC. He really did.
Every game, he's coming in and putting in 110%.
Yeah.
And very unselfish play, too, from him when it comes to distribution. And, I'm seeing him run. There was one breakaway chance I remember in this game where, like, I'm seeing Walker, Dave, people up. Hanni was the last man back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? I feel like he's not going to – his legs are going to fall off by the end of the season.
Well, and this isn't something that just has started up in the last few games either. Hanni was the best player on the field against Seattle.
Right.
Like, he just didn't have anything to show for it. But he had the best opportunities created in that game. So he's been there from the very start of the season when a lot of guys on this roster maybe necessarily haven't. He's been one of the guys who has. And so right. I think he'll get off the schneid in the same way that, you know, he went through a rough patch in his first year and then was among the best players in the league his second year. So, like, I'm not too worried about him long term, but I understand in that moment, give him the penalty, see if he can get something to show for it. Because honestly, I think if Hanni puts away one or two of them, he's going to have a run. I think he'll 100%. Have a run.
Yep. One more thing I kind of want to bring up just from a player performance perspective. I think Randall Leal had his best game this year. He was a monster on the pitch last night when it came to the assist to Dave Rami, when it came to just his defensive work, the way that he was moving around. Shout out to Randall Leal for an incredible game. I hope that continues up as well.
Same thing. I talked about this just because we're giving shout outs. Same thing with Alex Moyle. I think it the past two games, Alex Moyle has looked the best he's looked for Nashville. And we don't have time to go over every single move, but dude is looking like a monster on the right side.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Moyle has found a position that we weren't necessarily sure he could hold down last mm-hmm. year. But going back to Leal, Leal fell out of the Costa Rica national team. The only way back in is to force his way back in through the way that he's playing in MLS. And this is the type of stuff that we saw from him at the start of last year when we thought he may not be here for 2022. We thought he might hit that ascendant. So hopefully that was a false dawn, and this is going to be sort of the next step that we were expecting him to make last year.
And we are going to talk just a little bit more about this team in general and their place, you know, in the West right here next on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Pharmaceutical Soccer right here on 102.5 The Game at Pharma Soccer on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check us out on the Patreon, which I signed up for finally. So yeah, I'm contributing to my own podcast. Whee! Go me.
With Patreon, it's $5 and it helps us keep the light on. And not only that, it also just supports us. So if you've been listening to us for a day or a week or a year, or since the beginning, 3-4 years ago, we would really appreciate your contribution. It's $5. It costs that much to get a coffee, probably at Starbucks. Probably more, honestly, now. I don't know, inflation or whatnot. I don't know how things work. Anyway, it's $5. Help us out. We would really appreciate it. For those of you who have already signed up, thank you. Thank you so much. We can't thank you enough. And Clay and I talked about it last show a little bit, but it really means a lot to us.
Unlike most pharmaceutical companies, we aren't here to make a buck off of you.
No, we're not. But if you do want me to sound better, then sign up for the Patreon so I can get a new microphone.
I was talking to somebody in Arkansas about this show, and they said, is it called pharmaceutical soccer because, like, soccer is the best drug you can be on? And I was like, no, but that's a great idea.
That is a good one.
Hey, hey, I still stand by we're just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, that's a
good actually, shout out to a patient. His name is David Bell. He now lives in Kansas City, and he came to the match, but he's actually a pharmacist that listens to Pharma Soccer. I thought that was kind of cool. So, anyways.
Hey, maybe we can interview that one lady who we get emails all the time from, like, actual pharmaceutical execs trying to get on the show. So if we interview her for that one patient, he'll be like,
we should do a 180 one day and just do a full episode on some sort of pharma, like, drug or something like that, and just throw people for a loop. That'd be a good one. Let's actually talk about soccer now. Look, we're happy. We had two back-to-back road wins, 10 points in the six matches. This is kind of where we wanted to be with two matches left to go. Kind of, like, paint the picture a little bit. I know I started lying a little bit there. Paint the picture a little bit for me in the West. What's it looking like for us?
So essentially, we're basically exactly where we need to be to compete in the West. By we, I mean Nashville SC, and I should be better about that. But Nashville has 10 points from six games. That puts them 3 points off the top of the West, which is LAFC currently. Of course, Nashville is the only one that has played all six games on the road. Typically speaking, if you get a point a game on the road, if you get better than a point a game on the road, you're in a pretty good spot to be in contention for a lot of things. Nashville, as I mentioned in the first segment, has completed two of its longest road trips, or one of its longest road trips of the year. They will have two more in the next 2 weeks. They're 6 points away from Philadelphia for the Supporters Shield, top of the Supporters Shield. There's obviously a lot to be played there. But it doesn't take a whole lot of thinking, looking at the standings, for what could potentially be on the line when Philly comes to Nashville on May 1st as sort of like an early season heavyweight battle. So there's a lot to really like where Nashville's standing. The one thing that sort of stands out for me, maybe above all else, is that the goal differential is kind of blinking light when you look at the standings, because Nashville's is currently zero. But that's not a total surprise considering the way that we see this team approach matches on the road. But we haven't quite seen the expansive Nashville attack that we saw at times last year. But it does make sense under the current context why we wouldn't have seen that.
Well, it's a good thing that MLS tiebreaker is wins and not goal differential, I guess. Because
right, but as an indicator of where you are vis-a-vis the you know, the other teams that are up there.
Yeah. I was just making a joke. Obviously, it's important to have a good goal differential. I think, to me, this is a little bit better than I expected, in all honesty. I don't know if I expected Nashville to be in this spot, 3 points off the top. I tend to not really care about the table. Like, Nashville is seventh right now, but that doesn't really mean much because all these teams have an abundance of games to play. And it's not something that is going to mean much until a little later into the season. Really, like, one third or even almost halfway into the season is when you want to start looking at the table. That'll tell you a little bit more than it will right now.
Right, but usually you have played this many road matches that far into the season too. So if we expect to see any sort of even league average home form, Nashville's going to be in a pretty good spot. I mean, they're going to have played over half the road matches at the end of this road swing, which is really, really, really impressive. And in the same way that last year, they played most of their road games at the end of the year, and we talked all year about banking home points because you were going to need them at the end of the year. This team is kind of doing it the opposite way. They're banking road points, which is going to allow them to maybe stretch the roster a little bit and things like that later in the year.
And I know, like, from the last few years, whenever a team starts off on the road, when they come back home, whether it's their new stadium or an improved stadium, they are generally not as good as they were at their last spot. You look at Columbus, you look at even Portland to an extent. and Austin maybe, but Austin I guess never had home games before. Anyway, when they come back home, they're not the best. And I don't know if I'm just like stupidly optimistic, but I just think we're gonna kill it at home. I just want to go ahead and say that. Like, I know realistically that maybe this is not a realistic expectation, but I really think these players are gonna get so much from playing at home that I think we're gonna be really, really, really good. I hope this doesn't come back and bite me. But this soundbite, speaking of bites, this soundbite might work out really well, or I'll just sound like an idiot. We'll see.
I will say, and I've got to double check this, so I'm looking at it right now. I do think that SKC really turned it on when they got into their own stadium. So I do think that, that may be, and considering that a lot of the way that this club is structured is draws its inspiration from sort of the setup at SKC, it wouldn't surprise me if we see that sort of ascendance, because SKC rebranded it as SKC, got into their own stadium, and before you knew it, they were winning trophies left and right, which they hadn't been doing the several years before playing at that minor league baseball park and, of course, at Arrowhead. So anyway.
It looks like we lost Steven for a bit.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to throw it to you on this. Like, we were on this show a couple weeks ago, and you know, you look at the Real Salt Lake game, a game that Nashville played really well and didn't score, and you sit there, or didn't do enough to win, I should say. And we felt kind of down about it because it was like this team finally put in, you know, a great performance on the road and they didn't have anything to show for it. And we weren't really sure if this team was going to hit double digits from these first eight games or if they were going to be, you know, struggling, because a couple of these games are tough. And now we're 2 weeks past that, back-to-back wins against tough teams. You know, Columbus was a tough team. I'm not super high on SKC, but it's not the easiest place in the world to go play. Now, what are you feeling now? Like, how do those two losses near the start of the season make you feel now in retrospect?
I mean, we've heard it time and time again. Results fix everything. Like, they literally fix stuff that's not even on the field. Like, I remember fans would fight every time we, like, lost. But when we win, all problems are fine. Not fight, like, physically, but you know what I mean. So, I think results carry a very, very strong thing into how people feel. And even if the performances aren't the greatest, the results are always going to be there to kind of lift that up. But when you look at it, 10 points, I think it goes without saying, I feel so much better than I did 2 weeks ago. But I think what makes me feel good is that I can see this being a repeatable process that we will do throughout our away trips for this spell and going forward. I think that makes me feel a little bit better that whatever we did, even when we lost that one game, the Dallas game, whatever, I'm just going to overlook that because it was an anomaly and it was the only time I saw Nashville play like that. But even when we lost to Salt Lake and tied with Minnesota, I saw certain things that tell me that this team can turn those into wins, similar to what we did in SKC and Columbus. So that gives me a lot of optimism. So it's not just the results, but it's also the performance.
Yeah, and I just want to build off of that. Like, we always talked about this Nashville team coming off of a bad performance, the way that they play, and especially last year. And now looking at the RSL game in retrospect, You can be upset about not getting anything out of it, but at the same time, you sit there and you look at the season. Like, Nashville has played well in basically all but one game. Like, they haven't played their best in all but one game, but they've played well for huge patches, if not most of the game, in all but one match, and that one match, of course, being FC Dallas. So, like, now you look back at the RSL, so it's like, okay, well, it didn't work our way, but we're going to win a game, you know, that we don't deserve to win at some point later on too. So it'll kind of work out over the course of the season. So I look at it now and I feel like even more confident that this is a team that's going to be up near the top of the West than I did before the season. And I felt pretty confident about it before the season. Now it's like, all right, this is exactly where they need to be. Now let's check in two more weeks to see if I still feel the same way. But at this point in time, this feels like a team that will be a Western Conference contender. And that's all you can ask for 6 road matches into a season.
I will say, hey, I'm back. I will say, I already feel dumb for my prediction of where we were going to be in the West just by this. And then, like, say we go in and get a draw against the Galaxy, we're you know, Chicharito is playing really well again. Yeah, like, yeah, this team has a lot to offer, and that's good to know. We're going to be back right here next for the last segment of the show, right here on 102.5 The Game. And we are back. Last segment of the show right here on 102.5 The Game. Pharmaceutical Soccer at Pharma. I almost said Fama, not Pharma. At Pharma Soccer on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
That's what
Clay was about to make a joke. He has then decided to pull back. Okay, fantastic. Look, you know, we've talked about this team. We talked about this team, you know, kind of where they're at in the West and how they're playing now. We talked about the Kansas City match. Something to talk about after these two away matches are done, though. We're at home. It's getting closer and closer. We are less than 3 weeks out now. And you're starting to see the things that, you know, that we get to do an open practice tomorrow. There's an open practice at the stadium. TIFO is being painted this week. It's getting closer and closer right now.
Yeah, they were posting photos of art going up in the stadium the other day. Like, really excited about that. The other thing that I'm excited about is John Freeman's name is on the stadium, which is kind of nice.
Oh, they put his nice.
made in gold on the wall outside the locker room, which was pretty cool. So there's been a lot of cool things that have popped up. Obviously, there's a lot of questions specifically around location that people are still trying to figure out. That'll take a couple years probably to get fully sorted, but it's all real now. Like, I was loading the ticket for tomorrow's open training on my phone, and I saw the parking pass for the season and the individual match tickets, and it was just like, oh man, like.
Shout out to everybody listening to this as they are driving to the open practice, by the way.
Yeah. If you're listening to this
on Tuesday.
Yeah, tweet at us while you're driving to the podcast. You're riding to the podcast, and someone is driving with both hands on the wheel, 10-2. You know, keep it safe out there.
Once you get there, tweet at us then, or before you leave, perhaps. I don't know, one of them. Hey, anyway,
at Pharma Soccer on Twitter is what we're really meaning to say.
Are you excited about this open practice thing? It's kind of like one of those, like, I know some people are saving their like first experience for the first game. Like, how do you feel about that?
I am over the moon about it. I mean, for the three of us on this show, and this kind of is a bigger picture sort of thing, we were all there during the fight for a stadium. Like, for Steven, he's been around since this team was an amateur team. Me to a much lesser extent. I just kind of followed from afar. But like, sitting through every single Metro Council meeting, which I did, I think there's still my grooves in a seat at the Metro Council building somewhere. Like, this is a finally going to see it. I can't wait for the next game. I have to see it. Like, I know we talked a few weeks ago about taking that group of people to Everton, and we went on a stadium tour a couple of days before the game. And I had a member of my group who lives in Nashville, of course, said, like, just walking out and seeing it, like, through a tunnel, just in the distance, walking through, took his breath away. Like, it's finally there. He's watched it from afar. For us, we've been watching this thing get built from it being a bunch of sheds on top of a hill and just an idea to now it's actually there and there's a team there. And not only is there a team there, there's one of the best teams in the league is playing there. Well, and it's our team. So I can't wait to see it.
I hope it's just like Enrique Iglesias and it takes my breath away. Just saying. That's where I'm at.
Single tickets went out and they were sold out in minutes for the inaugural match. And then we're up on StubHub again for $1,000 a ticket right after that, which, I mean, is kind of annoying, but also kind of cool that people think that we're worth that much to go see. So if you make your money off of that, good for you. Parking
actually,
sold out.
Bad for you. It just don't hike it up that high. Don't do $1,000.
Hey, if that's what people are willing to pay, that's what people are willing to pay. I would just say go buy a season ticket. You can buy a season ticket
literally cheaper to do that.
Still get the game.
I'm excited for tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow how that's going to go, because I think it's going to be a good precursor for how stadium is going to go.
Hey, I mean, and the other side of it is, we haven't, aside from those that went to road matches, we haven't seen these guys in person. So, I mean, it'll just be cool to see these guys in person again.
All right. So we have the youth teams. I'm shifting gears here because we need to get to this. But the youth team is playing in the GA Cup. And I saw today that they're playing against some, like, international teams as well. So I think they have a game against Tigres, River Plate, and one more team that I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Flamengo in Brazil. Flamengo,
right. National, so that's pretty cool. I believe all those matches are available, right, Clay?
Yeah. They're all available through MLSsoccer.com. The Generation Adidas Cup is one of the biggest and genuinely one of the more prestigious youth cups in the world. And so you'll see teams from all over the place. Manchester United is there. Like, as Valera mentioned, River Plate from Argentina is there. Big time players for the U.S. national team played at the Youth Cup. It is currently being held in the Frisco area, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, like, Weston McKennie played at that, Jesus Ferreira, any guy that's been worth kind of talking about in the U.S. national team probably went through that GA Cup, and Nashville's now a part of it. So it's pretty fun to be in the mix and to watch these Nashville youth teams kind of grow from nothing. And hopefully eventually we'll see the fruits of that labor start popping up on Nashville's actual senior squad. So just something to keep an eye on. Haven't won a match yet, but Nashville is playing down there.
And then coming up is that game that's going to be down on the coast, but there's always something wild happening in San Jose. So I don't know what's going to be the Nashville Wild thing, but it is important to know that they are the only team that have not won a single game this season. They've drawn two games. They've lost four. They've had some wild results throughout the years. They've had some wild results this season already. They had a 3-3 versus Columbus. They had a 4-3 most recently versus Houston. They lost. This team, San Jose, is just a wild ride. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, one thing, there's going to be the man marking and all that, and I'm not going to go into all the details about their coaching situation, which is a weird one, a really, really strange one. But this is a real opportunity for Nashville, and I think anything other than a win will be a little bit disappointing for me, actually.
Yeah, they've scored two or more goals in half their games. I mean, they are a team that could genuinely test Nashville a little bit, but this is the biggest opportunity left on the table in this. Nashville can go there and get 3 points. They should be expecting to go there and get 3 points. And that'll really set things up for what could be a real highlight showdown between Nashville and LA Galaxy to end this road swing.
One important thing to note is that it is a nationally televised game on Univision. So if you are looking for that English broadcast, sometimes you're able to go to the secondary language on whatever provider you have. Otherwise, you can find it on Twitter. And that's a live English broadcast. So just make sure you tune in for that because the MyTV 30 or anything local will not have this game. And this is a nationally televised game. So make sure to adjust your schedules. I'm going to go ahead and go into predictions while we're at it. I'm going to say 3-1 for Nashville SC with a hat trick by Hany Mukhtar. Let's go.
I want to be, like, super positive about this game, but these are the type of the games I get the most worried about. And so I'm not going to say a draw. I am going to say a win, but I think it's going to be a nervy win. I'm going 1-0 with the goal from let's go with the goal from Walker Zimmerman.
My internet's barely working, but I'm going to get it in really quick. 2-2 San Jose, Walker Zimmerman, and Randall Leal get a goal. Yay, go us. Okay, take us out, baby.
All right, and then thanks to Steven for joining us for a little bit, as much as he can, as much as his internet would allow him. And thank you all for joining us. Clay?
Shout out to Ben Britton for his internet.
All right. Clay, real quick, where can people find more about you?
Yeah, at Clay Lassell on Twitter and NashvilleSoccerArchive.com. Buy yourself a Diamond Gym shirt. Help me keep the lights on at Nashville Soccer Archive. So shout out to everyone who's bought a shirt so far. Plenty of shirts available. And if not, just hit me up and let's talk about Nashville weird soccer history.
And for me, as always, kickingit615 at ki615.org and at kickingit615 on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can follow me personally at Valer Shabella on Twitter. Other than that, follow at Pharma Soccer. Make sure to keep up with us. And we'll see you. Well, we'll see you Tuesday, but we'll also see you maybe at one of the watch parties. And if not, neither of those, we'll definitely see you May 1st. So thank you again for listening to Pharma Soccer, and have a great night.